Good morning, everyone. Our first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it's found on page 1690, page 1690. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violence, but gentle. Not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Verse 4. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. The second reading is from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 35. And that is found on page 1584, page 1584 in the Church Bible. Starting from verse 17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Verse 25. "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to preach, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of God's church. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thanks, Paul. Well, please keep your Bible open at that passage, Acts chapter 20, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as we stop and we think about your word, we pray that you will give us clear understanding. We pray that you will direct our hearts to Jesus in love for him. And we pray that you will send us out from here with a renewed and refreshed desire to live for him. We pray this in his name. Amen.
And so this Sunday and next Sunday,
we are calling for nominations for two new elders in our church. And what that means practically is that there is a form in the church foyer where we're inviting members of the church to put forward the name of someone who you think would be suitable to be an elder of this congregation. And there's a list of the names of people who kind of, you know, fulfill the requirements. But the idea is you look through that list of names and think, okay, but who's suitable and willing to serve? So this week and next week is an opportunity to put a name on that form and to get the other person to also sign to say that they're willing. And then after that, we collect up the names of people who have been nominated, and we'll have another form, which is where you, the church members, you can vote and say yes or no. Yes, we think this person is suitable. It's in our Presbyterian rule book that before we hold an eldership election, I, as the pastor, must explain the biblical teaching on the office of eldership. And I reckon that is a great rule, because there are differences between a Christian view of leadership and a worldly view of leadership. I mean, just think, when there's an election for the government of Australia, how do the candidates go about this? They promote themselves, trying to show that I'm the most likable person and the most skillful person, and I've got the policies that will suit you best. Well, whereas when we're thinking about Christian leadership, what the Bible teaches is that Christian leadership is more about character than charisma. And it's more about faith than flair. And it's more about sticking to the truth than finding the way that is most convenient. You might remember that time Jesus, this is Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And Jesus says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Can you see the difference that Jesus makes between the leadership we see in the world and his kind of leadership, which meant going to the cross? And so we want to approach this eldership election with the Bible's teaching fresh in our minds. And this morning, I want us to particularly focus on one verse, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The context of this verse is that the Apostle Paul is on a journey by sea. There's this whole phase of his ministry in Greece and in Turkey, this whole phase of ministry which is coming to an end because Paul feels compelled to go to Jerusalem. But on this journey, he's got a stopover at a port which is about 50 kilometers away from a city called Ephesus. And this city of Ephesus has a big place in Paul's heart. Paul was the senior pastor of the church in Ephesus for about 3 years. And even though Paul's moved on since then, the elders that worked with him remain in the church in Ephesus. And so he wants to see them one more time. He wants to encourage them one more time. And that's the speech that Paul read to us before. I mean, the first part of the speech, he says, remember my ministry among you. And then in verse 28, which is our focus today, that's when he starts giving them instructions. And the instructions are, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And in here we see that the two basic responsibilities of an elder that we're going to think about this morning. Number one, keep watch over yourselves. Number two, keep watch over the flock. And so first of all, elders must keep watch over themselves. That's the first responsibility. What does that mean? Keep watch. It's the idea of paying close attention to your own spiritual health. See, a healthy Christian is a self-reflective Christian. If you're a healthy Christian, you know that you are a sinner saved by God's grace. You know that your eternal destiny is to become Christ-like. And yet you also know for now you are a work in progress. Your sinful nature remains. If you're a healthy Christian, you know yourself. You know that you can so easily drift. So easily fall into bad habits, so easily lose focus on Christ and his glory and instead latch on to other worldly things for meaning and for identity. And so by paying attention to yourself and your own condition, you'll be able to recognize where is it that I'm slipping or drifting, and then I can run to Jesus for forgiveness and for help and for strength. It's a bit like your garden at home. Sometimes, especially those winter months where it's all, you know, you're spending most of your time inside, except when you just run to the car and you're out. And then you can go for a couple of months, if you're anything like me, you can go for a couple of months without paying attention to the garden. And it's not until you go for a walk around the garden and you go, oh, there's a lot of weeds here. Same with the Christian life. Or, of course, the curious reality of the Christian life is that we won't be truly self-aware if we only focus in on ourselves. Rather, we gain insight into our own life and our own condition by shining the light of God's word in our lives. That's why Paul says, verse 32, Paul says, now I commit you to God and to what? You tell me. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. See, reality is that just by ourselves and our own judgment of things. We can be very good at rationalizing and justifying everything we do. But God's word, the word of his grace, cuts through and God speaks truth to our hearts. And so, thinking about an elder, if an elder is going to be able to keep watch over himself, he needs to be someone who loves God's word, who pays attention to God's word. It's interesting, this first command, watch over yourselves. That's really a command for all Christians, isn't it? Like that's, you could say that to every one of you, but I think that's the point. Paul's reminding the elders that their first job is to be a healthy Christian. The elders who are here today, I'm sure they each have a to-do list with particular things on it that they're trying to keep up with. But this is a reminder that who you are and how you're walking with Christ is going to bring a flavor to how you tackle all of those things on your list. Because Jesus teaches us your heart will shape your behavior. Who you are in your personal walk with Christ will influence, well, actually, not only how you act, but will influence God's people who are around you. There's a helpful expression I picked up from a book by a guy called Don Carson, and he observes that Christianity, so much of Christianity, is caught as well as taught. Caught as well as taught. What does he mean by that? Well, okay, look, how do you catch a cold? How do you catch a cold? By spending time with someone else who has a cold. And now think about Jesus and his disciples. As Jesus was wanting to train and build up his disciples, how did he do that? Well, there were definitely times where he said, sit down, I'm going to teach you. But when you read through the Gospels, there were so many other things that the disciples learned just from spending time with Jesus. I mean, think back about your own story. So much of what you've learned about the Christian life hasn't necessarily come from a particular sermon or a particular training course. So much of what you've learned has come from you just watching and listening to other Christians in action. Like, how did you learn to pray? Did you go to a special training session on prayer where someone said, well, you start off with Our Heavenly Father and you finish with Amen? Maybe you have, but I reckon it was mostly by listening to other people pray that you learnt to pray. And so, Christian leaders, just by being who they are, as people who trust in Jesus, Christian leaders set the tone for so many things, for how we speak and how we respond to each other and how we face hardship. And so as we set out to choose elders who are going to lead in our church, we're looking for men who can be a Christian example to others. Doesn't mean we're expecting them to be completely sinless. Like, if that was the requirement, then I think I would have to be the first one to quit. There's only one man who's sinless. His name's Jesus. He's already the head of the church. But we are looking for men who are willing to do what is good, willing to trust God, men who will be quick to repent when they see their lives drifting, because they want to live in good conscience before God. Maybe you're here and you're one of those people who's a potential elder and you're thinking, it's a high calling. But we got to trust that God and the word of his grace is actually everything we need to fulfill his calling. Like if you're thinking, I could never be that kind of person, well, now, hang on a minute, stop. Think again about God and his grace. No one can live a Christ-like life in their own strength. It's always got to be in God's strength. You know, that V8 engine behind the driver. That's not, you know, the driver's not winning the race by pedaling really fast. There's a power that's not his own. And we need to learn to serve in the strength that God provides. Okay, so elders must keep watch over themselves. And yet without being self-absorbed, because the other instruction is to watch over the flock. And now, which flock is it? Verse 28. Watch over the flock, all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Notice here there's a concept of local leadership for local churches. In this upcoming elders election, it's the members of this local church who are being asked to nominate and to vote. And as you, the members, vote, what you're saying is, hey, this person, you, we want you to watch over us in a Christ-like way. And we recognize that this whole process where God's people listen to his word and seek to recognize who he's raising up as elders, this whole thing is we're trusting the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom so that when we get to the point of ordaining elders, we recognize this is the Holy Spirit's call. It's the Holy Spirit's call, but the Holy Spirit is working through a local church to raise up leaders for that local church. So in our system, if an elder, say, moves from this church to somewhere else, they don't automatically become an elder of that church unless that congregation calls them to be an elder. So that's who they are called to watch over, the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. But how? How should they watch over the flock? Well, let me read the verse again. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. So the idea of an elder is that an elder watches over the flock like a shepherd watching his sheep. How does a shepherd do that? Well, really, a shepherd looks after sheep in two main ways. Proactively, the shepherd takes the sheep to where the green grass is. And protectively, the shepherd watches out for danger. Proactively, what's the green grass that you need as Christians? Have a look at this. When Paul said, hey, remember my ministry, what was his focus? Verse 21, I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Or verse 27, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Or back in verse 24, the task that he was focused on is the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And so what's the green grass that God's people need? It's the word of God, the whole word of God, centered and focused on the good news of God's grace in Christ. And so one of the elders' key tasks is to keep us as a church focused on this word of God centered in Christ. I mean, there's lots of things we want for our church. We want warm relationships in our church family. Like, that's an appropriate response to Christ. And yet the church is not merely a social club. We want to serve our local community. That's an appropriate response to Christ. And yet the church is not merely a community service organization. Sheep grow healthy by eating grass. And not just by eating grass one time. Sheep grow healthy by eating grass regularly. we can't say, oh, look, oh, yes, I've heard the word of God. That's all I need. Actually, think about it. From Sunday to Sunday, what are you faced with? Your faith is put under all sorts of pressures from the world, the flesh, and the devil. From Sunday to Sunday, you have to deal with your own weaknesses and your own temptations and figure out what to do with all the different ways of thinking that are around you. And the Bible says we are in a spiritual battle. And so that's why we need a regular diet of soul-strengthening grass of the Word of God. I should maybe just clarify something. We can see in the Bible that there are two kinds of elders. This is 1 Timothy 5:17. It talks about the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So do you see that there are some elders whose work is preaching and teaching? As I'm the minister of this church, you could call me a teaching elder. My full-time work is preaching and teaching. We have other elders in the church. We sometimes call them ruling elders, just to understand the distinction, teaching elders, ruling elders, because their full-time work is not preaching and teaching. A number of them have other jobs. But the idea is that all together, the elders direct the affairs of the church. And so the job of the elders together is to lead the sheep to green grass. But in this particular eldership election, we're not particularly looking for preachers. We're looking for ruling elders. Anyway, where were we up to? Elders watch over the... Remember, elders watch over the sheep proactively, take them to the green grass, but also protectively. That's because, okay, sheep are going to grow healthy, yes, by eating grass, but also by not getting eaten by wolves. Like, you're not going to be a very healthy sheep if you got eaten by a wolf. So, I mean, look at verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Like, in the real world, not just anyone should be allowed to teach in the church. Not just anyone should be left in charge of children or other vulnerable people. It's important that the church has, I guess, gatekeepers who can decide which people should be given responsibility and which shouldn't. And the gatekeepers in our church system are the elders. We ask the elders to supervise our church programs. Not to sort of slow down the work of the gospel, not to tangle us up in red tape, but just as a recognition that sheep are vulnerable. Someone's got to look out for them. Let me read you a little quote from an article that popped up on... there's a website called the Gospel Coalition. Very, very helpful website. Just during this last week. And it was an article about how our Aussie culture often resists the idea of authority. You know, as Aussies, we don't like getting told to do what to do. We don't want Big Brother watching over us. But let me read you a little quote from the article. The guy says, many of us have felt authority gone terribly wrong and it hurts. And yet, what would our world be if we went without authority at all? Letting authority run rampant is oppressive, but rejecting authority can be problematic too. It leaves us powerless and ineffective, no one taking responsibility to see our world thrive. So we don't want elders who will be Big Brother and who will exercise authority in worldly ways, but we do want elders who will take responsibility to see our church thrive. We do want elders who will watch over God's people with a gentle heart, a Christ-like heart, a shepherd's heart. And so that's why we have an election. Elect those kind of people. It's an important responsibility. Practically, what's involved? in being an elder at Resi Prezi? Well, there's a meeting one night a month. We call it the session meeting, where we discuss the things that are going on in the church. Each elder is given a list of people in the congregation to care for, maybe 15 to 20 people, with the idea that here's a list of people I'm going to pray for and ideally going to visit or catch up with from time to time, and to take a particular interest in their spiritual growth. And then on top of that, the meeting and the list of people, there's whatever other church involvement you have. Eldership is there's great encouragements as you're walking with people and seeing them grow. Sometimes it can feel like a thankless task, because sometimes you're helping people through significant life challenges, but it's not as if that's seen. Like, it's not as if you're going to go and share people's private business with everyone else. Let's remember that our church's ruling elders are not paid, which means that they've got all the work and life responsibilities that the rest of you have. And so maybe this begs one final question. Why would anyone want to take on this responsibility? Well, the answer to that question is at the end of our verse. It says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." The gospel teaches us that the church matters to God. The church matters to God so much that the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, was prepared to come and to die for the good of the church. The church, with all our flaws, all our weaknesses, all our problems, he loved us and gave up his life for us to wash away our sins and to bring us to God. Before we knew him, before we served him, before we loved him, he loved us. He shed his own blood for our good. The church matters to God. And so if you want to be in tune with the heart of God, if you want to line up your values with God's values, then you're going to see the church as precious. Not everyone here should be or needs to be an elder. But if we're wanting to be Christ-like, to take on his heart, if we're wanting to take the message of Good Friday seriously, then we've got to have a willingness to care for God's people in whatever position the Holy Spirit puts us. And so, people of God, it's over to you. Will you pray with me that God will raise up more elders for this church? Will you pray that God will give us the wisdom to identify men who will watch over themselves and over the church of God? Will you pray that our church will thrive and be focused on God and the word of his grace, and that will be encouraged by the leaders that we raise up? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for your love for us. Your love for us, even before we loved you. We thank you for Jesus and his blood shed for us. We thank you that we matter to you, and that the cross is proof of this. And so we pray that you will continue to care for your church. We pray that you will raise up elders to be a part of this team of shepherds. We pray that you will equip these guys with everything they need, that under your care and your strengthening and the word of your grace, that you will enable them to watch over themselves and over the flock that you love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.